Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Diamond Discussion Podcast alongside my partner Joe Stumpo. I'm Mike Caliendo. We definitely got a lot to get into, but before we do, as always, we have to reveal the trivia question and answer. So, by all means, Joe, take it away as usual.
What's going on, everybody? So, last week's question was a little bit different. It was, who was the last Orioles player before current player Gunnar Henderson with four extra base hits in one game? We did get one person who got it right, our good friend Ben, Brewcrew. It was Melvin Mora was the answer. So thank you to him. A couple other people didn't get it right. One other person actually had Melvin Mora with a question mark and said they didn't feel confident enough to go with the answer. So sorry for them.
close.
Should have been a little bit more confident. But yeah, our good friend got it right.
So. Well, I mean, if it was Jeopardy, they technically would have got it right
because you have to answer the question.
Right. So, true. I mean, if we're going to go by that standard, I guess it's a right answer.
No, I'm not. I don't want to steal Jeopardy's.
Yeah, this isn't Jeopardy. It's Diamond Discussion.
I don't want to steal their style. But yeah, so that was the answer, was Melvin Mora. But I have to get some things off my chest before we really dive into this.
What, do you miss Juan Soto? Or?
No, please. I'm not. I'm done with that. Listen, I know the Yankees are playing the Dodgers. I know that they're world champions, and I know, you know, the whole stigma from last postseason, how, you know, we didn't get it done, and whatever the case may be. But to give up 18 runs yesterday was a complete joke. I feel like we didn't show up. I feel like we looked completely beat out of the gate. I didn't like the posture. I didn't like the vibe today. It was just today. Yesterday, I felt like we came ready to play. On Friday. Yesterday, we just didn't show up. I know it happens, and I'm not really even blaming Will Warren because he probably was. It looked like he was overpitching at points, and he was trying to make everything look perfect and be perfect. And you can't do that against this team because they're just gonna, you know, beat up on the mistakes. So Will Warren, I could kind of get past. On Friday, I didn't like what Aaron Boone did with the bullpen. They take out Max Fried, and there's a couple of runners on. I think it was second and third with one out, and they went with Loaisiga. At that point, I felt like Mark Leiter Jr. should have been put into the game because they needed a swing-and-miss guy. Mark Leiter Jr. is a big swing-and-miss guy, and that was a situation where he should have been in. I had no problem with Loaisiga because he throws hard, but I would have waited a little bit to put him in. So that was the first thing. Then they go Tim Hill, and Tim Hill walks Michael Conforto to force in a run. You can't have that go on against a team that is this good.
Yeah.
It's just unacceptable. So, and listen, I know Tim Hill's been a little up and down. He's been very good as a Yankee, but that's unacceptable. You get called in to face a lefty, and it's Michael Conforto, not even like an Ohtani or Freeman. You got to get this guy out, and you walk the bases loaded. Then the next play, he gets a double play. So it was like, we needed you to do that 5 minutes before, and you didn't. So I kind of feel like Boone put the team in a little bit of a bad position when it came to the, you know, the setting up of the bullpen. And that got me a little upset. And I feel like he's done that in the past where he mismanages the bullpen and uses the wrong guys in wrong situations. Fast forward to yesterday. Like I said, Will Warner's off the hook. It's the first time he's ever pitched against the Dodgers. So, you know, welcome to pitching against the big boys. So
yeah.
I kind of give him a pass. But the offense was completely not there. Guys are not hitting. Austin Wells needs to hit. I don't know what's going on. No one wants to talk about Austin Wells. Everyone's really fixated on Volpe. Austin Wells hitting .210.
Yeah.
Like, I know he's got the power, and he's got 30 RBIs. So he has the opportunity to produce.
He's been somewhat productive, you know, but 212 is not acceptable.
210 is not acceptable. I'm not asking for 230. I'm not asking for, you know, I'm not asking for 280. I'm asking for 230, 240. You got to be able to hit 20 to 30 points higher. You hitting 208, 209 right now is unacceptable. I'm sorry. The defenses looked good. I know they made a couple errors, you know, yesterday. Perrazzo had a ball go off his chest. But other than that, the defense has been very good. I'm still a little concerned about Volpe. I know, well, everyone says he's a top 10 shortstop. Look at his offensive numbers.
What?
Yeah, if you look at his categories and his WAR, he's actually up there in top 10 for shortstops. I don't know how, but because it's analytics and all this stuff, he's actually in the conversation for top 10. I didn't believe it. it's actually true, but that doesn't mean I agree with it. He's hitting .239 with 6 home runs. He's got to do better than that. This guy hit 21 home runs in his rookie year. He's completely digressing. He can't hit a fastball. I'm seeing things every night. I don't see how he's top 10. I don't see how he's better than anyone in the top 10, if you looked at who's in the top 10. I don't see how he even gets on the list. And I don't know. This weekend was supposed to be a big weekend, especially with the two pitchers that we had faced so far, Gonsolin and Knack. Knack looked better than Gonsolin. I mean, Gonsolin gave up four home runs.
Yeah, Gonsolin didn't look
good. He looked completely outclassed. And yes. Then Knack looked like he was, you know.
He's been sneaky good.
He looked like a mid starter who could, you know,
make a team. He's been holding things down. Yeah, he's been holding things down for them over there in LA.
And I thought the Yankees were going to have a good first two games. And I said, you know what, this team could win 2 out of 3 just by winning the first two games. And now we have Yamamoto. So it's like, you know, listen, I have all the confidence in Yarborough. He's been very good. But let's see how he fares against, you know, his former team. He pitched for the Dodgers before. And let's just see. And I want to also bring up Max Fried. This was the game that I actually expected him to not do well. He's 3-4 against the Dodgers overall. Now he's 3-5. I know his ERA was pretty good. It was like 3.15, so it wasn't like he was getting slapped around.
Yeah.
But he was going to get slapped around at some point.
At some point, yeah. Yeah.
He wasn't going to have 9 consecutive good starts or 15 consecutive good starts. He's a human being. So for Yankee fans to say, oh, you really had to crap the bed in this start. Well, I mean, this is a good team. This is a team that won the World Series. It's not like he crapped the bed against the Orioles. He crapped the bed against a good Dodger team. I'm not going to get upset at that, but I would have liked us to show up a little bit more. 18-2 is completely outclassed. This team has never gotten slaughtered by anybody this year yet, and to get slaughtered by them that way, it was a little disappointing to me. I don't know how you feel about it, you know, outside looking in as a Met fan, but the Yankees have to figure something out against Yamamoto. They can't just let him walk all over them. I know he's a very good pitcher, but they're going to have to figure it out. I'm sorry. And there's some guys at the bottom of that lineup, they're going to have to just wake up. Because when the dog days of August come and these guys are still hitting .210, you better hope you have the lead that you have in the division. You better hope you have a 6 or 7 game lead in the division and you have a healthy Luis Hill. You have, you know, maybe Clark Schmidt is firing on all cylinders. He looked good in his last start. But, you know, you got to shore some things up because Tampa just won 2 in a row. Toronto's won 2 in a row. So they're back over .500, and they're going to try to make a little run. So
of course they are.
Yeah. So you
and Boston's technically not out of it either.
No, Boston's not out of it yet, but they have their own problems, and they have a lot to fix too. But if the Yankees really want to make a footprint in this division and kind of end it early, they have some things they have to fix.
I mean, yeah. Look, I'm going to say flat out, and we did this in our prediction episode. We easily said that this division could have had all 5 teams be over .500.
I mean, I'm surprised that the bottom of the division was playing the way it did. Baltimore, we kind of saw. Baltimore's been a shipwreck, so I'm not even.
Yeah, they've been
Baltimore.
Terrible.
But I didn't expect Boston to be a couple games in the .500. I didn't think Toronto was going to be treading water either. I thought they were going to be a better team.
Yeah, I felt like they were.
Tampa Bay, I kind of figured they would be where they are.
Yeah.
Listen, and as a Yankee fan, I am grateful for how they're playing. This is a bad 2 game. They're still. I think they're 15-6 in their last 21, even with losing the last 2 to the Dodgers. So right. I'm very happy with how they're playing. But the way they played against this team is a little unacceptable. I would rather them lose close games and be in it than get slapped around completely and look like we're their little stepson. You know what I mean? It left a bad taste in my mouth.
Well, I mean, just going into yesterday's game, I mean, you know, listen, the Dodgers came out. The other thing I will say, and I noticed this with them in the playoffs last year and even the World Series, they went full on, we're not swinging at bad pitching. Flat out. Warren, every ball that was out of the zone, the Dodgers laid off of. It was insane that they had this much plate discipline in the first 2 innings. And it showed. They made Will Warren work, and they made him work.
Right. And he throws fastball over the plate. That's why he gave up 7 home runs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, he gave up 4 in the first, and then you obviously were hoped that he would somewhat bounce back in the second, and that didn't happen. And then, you know, that was it. That was the implosion was over. I mean, they scored 10 runs in the first 2 innings. Like you said, it's unacceptable. It's somewhat funny for me, outside looking in, because we just saw the Dodgers easily could have swept that series. I'm not going to dive into that all the way. Just outside of the fact that you're in extra innings and you have Luis Angel Acuña at second base with the top of your order up, and it's a walk-off win situation. Lindor's up. I understand he lights up the big moment, but how do you not get this guy over to third? Bunt him over. He's got the speed to get there. I easily could have swept that series. I don't understand how that was a thing. It royally annoyed me, and it would have made a statement, at least with us. You guys, on the other hand, all I've heard so far, coming into the season, is we want the Dodgers. We want the Dodgers. We want our rematch. We want this. We want that. Blah, blah, blah. All right, you got the Dodgers, and look what you did. You know, all this about how everybody's, Will Warren has been fine, and X, Y, and Z, and he's been serviceable. He has been serviceable. I'm not really trying to bury this kid right now. Max Fried coming out, like you said, he doesn't have a winning record against the Dodgers. His ERA, like you said, wasn't bad. It's a bad time to have this start because it's going to panic the fan base a little bit. Now people are going to start to, the edge of that cliff looks a little better and better now because, all right, we've finally got the Dodgers and Max Fried finally has a bad start. I mean, the guy's been unhittable. Even with his bad start, his ERA is still under two. So, let's calm it down a little bit.
Right.
Let's calm it down. He's got a 1.92 ERA even with that bad start. So, ease up because everybody will take that every day of the week and twice on Sunday, literally. But 18-2. I mean, it's not even 18-2 Dodgers Yankees. It was 18-2 Dodgers Aaron Judge because that was your only sense of offense. And listen, that benefited me big time because in my big fantasy league, I have Aaron Judge. So to get two home runs out of him was spectacular for me. Thank you. Mind you, my opponent had four Yankees in his lineup, and that didn't really work out so well.
Probably not. No.
Also, shout out Brandon Pfaadt, by the way, because he's -29, I think, for the opposition there. Yeah. Sorry, Uncle Sal.
Speaking of fantasy, I had Lozada today with -28, so I know exactly.
Another one.
I know exactly how.
I know today was the day of roughing up the starters.
Good, decent pitching.
Lozada's been another one. Like Fried, he's been unhittable. He's been spectacular.
Like I said, I just don't want to get swept out of the building now. And now the toughest challenge is Yamamoto. So we're down 0-2 already, and we have to.
That'll be somewhat what'll salvage the weekend. If you guys could rough up Yamamoto how the Dodgers roughed up Fried.
Absolutely.
I think it'll make somewhat of a statement, but you're not getting past 18-2 right now because the Dodgers said, "Oh yeah, you want us?"
They haven't been playing that great.
No, they really haven't.
They've been teetering too.
They've been.
You know what? We walked into their ballpark and they're like, "We know what we have to do." They're just a very well disciplined team. Forget about the amount of superstars they have. They're all just very well disciplined.
So far in these two games, they have treated this like it was a playoff, like a World Series.
Absolutely.
The way they've, like I said, disciplined. And you know what? I also think they had something to prove because there were guys that came out and said the Yankees were the better team. Dodgers said, "Yeah,
right.
Yeah. You were the better team. Hold my 18 runs."
And the crazy part was that we came out bashing. Came out, we looked good.
You guys looked solid in game one.
The first six
and
innings.
And then it went away.
The first six innings. And then, like I said, the implosion with the bullpen. And then I think maybe with this loss yesterday, this 18-2 drubbing, they were probably still thinking about Friday, maybe.
Maybe.
And how they let one slip away. I don't know what it was, but they looked completely out of touch. And I just don't want that to be a thing moving forward till next week. So hopefully they just snap out of it and they realize what they have to face tonight in Yamamoto. So
I got to say this because now you could relate to it on full frontal here. Doesn't it suck that Freddie Freeman freaking owns you?
Yo,
we've been dealing with that for years. And I mean,
and let me
come
tell
on.
You something. First of all, he's been owning whoever he faces all year.
The guy's hitting .400 in the month of May with a bad ankle. It's insane.
Yeah. And he is just, and first of all, his swing is sometimes so awkward, and it works.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes he swings, a very uppercutty-type swing, and he can still lace a ball the opposite way down the line. It's unbelievable to me. And he's just been murdering us ever since the World Series last year.
It's insane.
The guy is unbelievable. I'm more scared of him than Ohtani. I swear, I know Ohtani home on the first pitch. It doesn't matter. I'll take my chances with Ohtani before I take him with Freeman, I swear. As a Yankee fan. He kills us every time.
He really does. Ohtani, it's a New York thing.
Ohtani struck out, I think, against Fried. So, he got him back a little bit there. But Freeman is just, you can't get this guy out. And Tommy Edman is another guy that just, he's like a pest in your, he's like a thorn in his side.
Yep.
But this team is that good. And they're going to be deep again in the playoffs. And like I said, everyone was saying, what's wrong with the Dodgers? They've been teetering a little bit. every team is going to have
they go through a big
couple of weeks where they don't look themselves. Okay, the Yankees a month ago weren't this good. They got on this run literally a couple of weeks ago where they kind of separated themselves a little bit in division. Everybody has these good and bad weeks. So the Dodgers woke up. They had the smelling salts. They woke up. They realized we were coming in their building. And they've been playing
and they're getting well. They're getting a taste of New York back-to-back because the Mets are following up.
The Mets are following up with a four-game series. So I'm sure they know what's up. And they, like you said, they lost two out of three. And I'm sure that's in the back of their minds, too, when the Mets come rolling in. So, like I said, I hope we just we figure something out against Yamamoto tonight.
I mean, yeah, you know, like you said, and even myself, that would be somewhat of a statement, or at least to try to save face even a little. I mean, is this necessarily concerning? Like I said, it's all I heard. Yankee fans, yeah, we want the Dodgers, we want the rematch, we want this and that. This is what you guys show. Yeah, this is the product you put out.
It's not good.
And you know, like you mentioned, I think Volpe takes over for the fact of Wells struggling as much. I think you guys are clearly missing Jazz in the lineup a little bit, even though he really wasn't going crazy when it,
And the crazy part is about this whole series. I'll say this, Mike. I was more nervous about the Mets series. I said, I have a feeling the Mets are going to come in and this is going to be Soto's weekend. He's going to get this spark. No, it was the complete opposite. We played very well. We could have swept that series. Yeah. Took two out of three. I actually felt more confident against the Dodgers. I said, there's two pitches that the Yankees could rough up. We did rough up Gonsolin. We gave him five runs.
Yeah.
And then we get completely dominated in the second game. We lose the first game in the back end of the game. The second game, we completely don't even show up. And now we're backs against the wall, we're facing a sweep. So sometimes it's just very opposite of how I think to where, how things actually happen. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But like I said, a guy like Austin Wells and Volpe, these guys need to hit. I'm sorry. They need to hit. I don't care about what it says on paper or what the war and all this stuff and whatever. Volpe needs to hit a fastball. He needs to be aggressive when it comes to hitting a fastball. J.C. Ascara is hitting 245. Why can't Austin Wells hit 245?
Yeah.
209 is unacceptable. You're not wrong. I'm sorry. You're the catcher for the future. You can't hit 210. Something's going to have to change there. I'm sorry. So
He started the year off promising. He looked good.
And these are the teams you're going to face in October. So you have to figure something out when you face these teams.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I mean, for the most part, you guys are going to be running into, I think, from what I understand, you guys are going to run into a little bit of a rough patch with your schedule. You're going to be playing these better teams now. You know,
got Boston coming up. We got...
That's regardless whether the Boston is terrible, if you guys are terrible.
No, we're still going to beat them.
It's Boston, New York. They play up. You know how that goes. I don't got to explain that.
We got to beat them. I don't care who it is. It could be the Rockies who are 9-100. I don't know what's going on over there, but you know, I don't care who's on the schedule. You got to play whoever's on your schedule, and you got to be and just beat them. That's really it. There's no excuses. Injuries, I don't care. No excuses. We've been playing fine with the team that we have. There's a lot of guys that are out, and to me, it's just next man up. So those guys got to figure it out. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yankee fans in the comment section of the podcast, you know my spiel, you know the deal. Instagram, Twitter, wherever you feel like it. DMs, we could argue if you want. We can make it public, we could argue there too. You guys concerned at all? How did this two games so far against the Dodgers, where are you at? Panic button, you guys freaking out? Max Fried, your stopper, or at least maybe your starter to the series, should have held us in check, at least for the most part, and didn't really work out. Where are you guys at with this? Panicking a little bit? Is it just one game? Is it just one series? 18 runs? It's not good. You can't deal with. You can't do that. Not in these situations. You know, and you want to prove something to everybody. You've had players come out and say we were the better team. Really? You think the Dodgers didn't take that personally? Dodgers won the World Series in 5 games. And somebody had the gall or the nerve to come out and say that the Yankees were the better team?
You got to be able to back that up.
All right. So the Dodgers said, okay, you were the better team. We're going to prove you wrong. That seems to be the case. But where are you guys at with this? Like I said, panic button? You nervous? You feeling it? Maybe not.
Yeah, me personally, I'm not, but
At the end of the day, it's one series.
I would have liked a better showing.
Of course.
Like you said, we still have tonight to kind of figure it out, hopefully. So.
Yeah.
But now, across town, I know you got the Rockies. I know this was not a stressful series. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be for anything.
It could get stressful real fast. Real fast.
I mean, if you lose two in a row, obviously, then it's like, oh my God, what the hell's going on? But, you know, they picked it up a little bit. You know, they've been struggling a little bit, so this was the series to.
They needed this. I mean, they got the White Sox and then the Rockies back to back. Listen, they should have not swept the White Sox either, but we saw how that played out. They lose 9-4.
The final game, yeah, I believe it was 9-4.
Yeah, so that was.
Listen, it happens. As long as you win the series,
they took the first two. Yeah,
it's all about winning the series. You have to just take two out of three.
Canning finally had a bad start though, and against the White Sox of all teams, you don't want to see that.
It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen, and you know, sometimes maybe it's better that it happens against the the not so good team. So maybe he could readjust. So when he pitches against a good team, he's back on track. So you know, sometimes you'd rather see the bad teams beat you. Because maybe you take them for granted a little bit, rather than go to Philly or Atlanta or L.A. and give up 9 runs through the first 3 innings. So hopefully maybe they could bounce back. But, you know, I know their schedule's been a little bit easier, so, you know, on the back end. But you still got to play these teams and you still got to beat them. So.
You still got to win. And you know what? Like, you know, listen, Philly went on a nice little run. They had a nice little easy part to their schedule. Then they had Atlanta. They took 2 out of 3 from them. And now we're getting maybe the easier part of us. Now, I know Philly ran into Milwaukee, who's playing really good ball right now. They're hot.
Hot right now, yes.
And they beat up on Philly's best pitcher yesterday in Lizardo. Gave it 12 runs. 12 runs for Lizardo. Lizardo's been the guy. Just like you mentioned with Fried. Guy's been practically unhittable. Milwaukee said, nah, we'll beat you by a touchdown. Nah. We ain't worried about it. Listen, I love it. I love it. Like you mentioned, our buddy before, Ben Brew Crew, our guy, he's loving life right now. I know there was stretches where he was crashing out a little bit with how the Brewers were playing.
Talking about Freddie Peralta being a possible trade chip.
Now I'm going to say taking that back.
I don't think if they're going to play this well and they're going to fight for.
This is going to go up and down.
They're not going to lose.
And you know what? Like we've been hearing these conversations about. Who's going to be buyers and sellers? First of all, it is way too early to really be having that conversation outside of the obvious.
I would say in the next 3 or 4 weeks, we could start talking about that.
Yeah, but I mean,
to see where teams are sitting.
We had guys saying the Rays and the Blue Jays. If you looked at the wild card standings, the Rays are a game out of the last spot in the wild card, along with Toronto. And Cleveland leads that by a half game.
Right.
What are we talking about? Selling? There's three spots to get into if you don't win your division.
Right.
Changes are complete. We're not talking about buyers and sellers at this point. Again, outside of the obvious, Colorado, Chicago, whatever they might have, Pittsburgh, if they have anything worth selling, other than, I don't know, a game-used Paul Skeens towel.
Yeah, but...
I mean, I don't know what else they have worth selling at this
Baltimore
point.
Baltimore could be a seller. You know, I could see that happening. I mean, listen, like I said, I think we're 3 weeks away from talking about where teams are going to be sitting when it comes to trade deadline stuff. But, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting because there's going to be teams that are obviously fighting for divisions and wild cards that are going to make the biggest push. That's just how it works.
You know, so he's up on that right now. It's fun to speculate, but... Teams are not out of it, you know. And back to the Mets right now. Listen, we're back in first, tied at least with Philly. You got to hope we get the sweep with Colorado later today. Kind of got to hope that Philly loses, even though
I think it's going to be a back and forth for a while.
It's going to be. It's going to be a dogfight. And you know what the funny thing was? And
I feel like at the end someone will pull away.
We said this. We said this when we did our prediction. We also said this. We didn't have Atlanta in the playoffs, and people said we were out of our minds, and that's fine. Okay. The other thing is now, going into this Philly Braves series that just ended, and I'm going to go back to the Mets in a minute, but I was saying I want actually for the first time, not first time because it has been the first time, but I was actually rooting for Philly to sweep that series, and people are like, what are you crazy?
You want the Braves to get?
Yeah. I want the Braves to be dead and buried, and it's just the Mets and the Phillies battling it out at the end. I don't want a third team in this mix. I don't. The Braves started out as bad as they did, 0-8, however, 0-7, 0-8, whatever it was. Let's bury them now.
Right.
They're 8.5 games out. Again, it's still technically early. You know, we're just about to get into June. But let's bury them now. Let's get them out of the way. I don't want to deal with them.
You'd rather the Braves be spoilers later.
Yeah.
When they're out, you then
let them sell. Let them do what they got to do.
I can see that, yeah.
You know, and Phillies, they're going to be in some sense of trouble. Talk about trade deadline. They're going to go after bullpen arms. Who's going to be available?
Absolutely. And their bullpen's actually been decent.
They've been holding it together for the most part, but Alvarado for 80 games, and he can't pitch in the playoffs, that's a problem.
They need help.
Strom is not holding things down on the back end for the most part.
He's been their best bullpen pitcher.
Yeah.
So, and you can't rely on just him. They're gonna have to go for
arms. They're going to have to go for pieces, you know? So, listen, the Mets got to – let's get this sweep out of Colorado. Let's not give them a 10th win. Believe that? We're about to approach June. This team doesn't even have 10 wins.
I can't. It's really a shame.
It's pathetic, honestly. It really.
I do. The players, too.
And you know what's crazy?
The players aren't trying to lose every game.
I saw a thing. Colorado is about midway in the pack as far as attendance. They've won 9 games. Yeah. They've won 9 games, and they're just about middle of the pack. I mean, if I heard their ballpark is absolutely beautiful.
Well, yeah, it is. It looks fantastic.
Yeah. But they're midway. You would think they'd be dead last.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting. So shout out to their fan base for showing out. You know, and I do feel bad for them. I do. Because, you know, listen, I've never seen this outside of the 62 Mets that were, you know, this bad.
Right.
But, you know, listen, I've been there. I knew my team was terrible and out of it, and there was no chance. But this is.
You got 35, 40,000 in the stands.
That's crazy. That's
considered quote unquote bad. You know.
And, I mean, look, now the Mets are going to go into L.A., starting on Monday, 4-game set. And now let's see what they're going to do. Let's see how they're going to answer. The matchups out there, I mean, you're going to get this one's a little wild for me. We literally just spoke about it minutes before we went up. I just saw it. Paul Blackburn is going to be activated, and he's going to be pitching game one of that Dodgers series. So.
Right in the fire.
Right in the fire against Dustin May.
Right in the fire.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, you know what? If he gets roughed up, it can't get any worse. Maybe it can.
No, listen, they need the arms. It looks like they're going to go to the 6-man rotation like we were talking about before we started, you know, recording. And it's going to be interesting. And I think that's going to help for Senga a little bit.
Of course.
I think
it's going to help for all these guys.
I wonder if this 6-man is going to be a trend.
It could be.
Not even for just the Japanese players' sake.
No, it definitely could be
arms. I just in general.
They've been talking about this for roughly the last 10 years, 10-15 years. Teams have flirted with the idea. They've done it for small stretches, but it never really panned out. And then I don't know. Tampa kind of put a wrench into that when they started using an opener, and they kind of opened the doors to that. That kind of fizzled out. I think this is going to be the thing going forward. Teams are going to lean more that way.
I also read a crazy article. I forgot where I read it. I should have saved it. That was stupid of me. But it was an idea that you'd have an opener. The opener would pitch maybe one, max two innings. And then, for example, they bring in Gerrit Cole.
No.
So, for example, if Gerrit Cole is like the scheduled start, like if he's supposed to start that day,
yeah,
he actually wouldn't start. He'd come in the second or third inning.
What?
Because they're saying this. I forgot who wrote it. I have to find it. They said that you could get more length out of your bigger guys if they start the game later. So, for example, a Ryan Yarbrough would pitch maybe two innings.
Yeah.
And you bring in Cole from 3 to 8, and he only pitched 5, but he's pitching the bulk of the game.
I mean,
it's a weird concept.
I get the purpose, but no. Are you paying Gerrit Cole to not start
the game?
No.
Because what happens if Yarbrough gives up 4 or 5 runs?
And then you're out of it.
And then you're out of, you know, you're going to bring
Why even start Cole at that point?
And then that's what I was saying.
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't.
Top guy down 4 or 5 nothing.
I don't like that at all. And when you go into.
It's very risky. It's very risky. I get what they're saying because you could stretch the guy. But if you're down a couple of runs, now you're putting your top ace in a hole that he didn't create. in the middle innings. So
yeah, I don't like that at all.
It was very.
I like the six man idea, and the funny thing is too, you know, Blackburn is back, so obviously, you know, we're still waiting on Montas, who's getting closer, and we're still waiting on Minaya, who again, from what I understand, is getting closer. What's going to happen? Because really, Blackburn, if he's the sixth guy for now, all right, he shifts over to the bullpen, no big deal. What's going to happen when the other guy gets back? Montas and Minaya at the same time. Well, who's going to be the odd man out?
Montas has to pitch. He's getting 17
minutes. Of course he is. He has to pitch. So Minaya obviously has to pitch. That's no question. Yeah, but outside of that, who's the odd man in the Mets rotation right now, realistically? Gil?
Yes, maybe.
Maybe. Because he's starting to fizzle a little bit?
Maybe.
He's not looking as strong as he did?
Because you could use him in like a fifth or sixth inning situation.
Canning is maybe another option, but he's been...
Canning's been pitching better than McGill, though.
Overall, but, you know, he finally had a bad start, I guess.
To me, that's going to be tough. To me, Canning is a starter. McGill is a hybrid, I feel.
He can go back and forth. Yeah, he could go back and forth.
I would say, considering he could do both, you maybe switch him to the pen, and you could then utilize and Montas. Now, but if Montas doesn't do well, maybe you throw him in the pen, get him right, and then you could switch McGill back. So you have some things that you could.
And now you have raised this question in the off season, in the middle of the season, fairly recently. What's going to happen with this innings? And I've even said with the way these starters are going, it's not sustainable what they're doing and how much they're eating up the bullpen. Well, here's your answer.
Right, yeah.
Blackburn, maybe McGill. Now you're going to have two guys that could give you length out of the bullpen. You know, all right, the Mets go up 6-0 and your starter goes, finishes 5. Maybe Blackburn just finishes the game. Right, McGill exactly. Finishes the game. Yeah. Now you saved all your bullpen arms for the next day and whatever it may be. And then maybe you get two of those games in a row, like this Dodger game today. They lit up for 10 runs in the first two innings. Right. You're not really worrying about the bullpen really at the end now. Now you're kind of just going to play around a little bit.
I definitely agree with that.
Oh, and by the way, I think Juan Soto's starting to heat up. Just throwing that out there. He hit a home run yesterday. First one since May 9th.
Back-to-back extra base hits. Do a couple more games.
I'm trolling a little bit. No, I've been a little disappointed with him, obviously. I've mentioned it's becoming harder to defend him. But in the same regard, you know, look, I look at the past with some of big name superstars that have come over to Queens that have struggled in the beginning. And, you know, I mentioned Lindor. Guy second in MVP last year, only lost because there was a unicorn doing amazing million different things on the baseball diamond last year, except play defense and Shohei Ohtani. But Beltran was atrocious his first season.
Piazza struggled.
Everybody forgets about Piazza in 98.
Yep.
Really didn't. Down the stretch, he seemed to have picked it up at the end of the season. It was kind of too little too late at that point. But everybody forgets about that because then his first full season, 99, he had a great year. Right. 2000, they went to the World Series.
Back to his second year, I think he had 41.
Yeah,
next year.
Yeah, he ended up tying the Mets single season home run record at that point. He shared with Mr. Hundley. But no, I mean, these guys have struggled coming over here. It's an adjustment. I'm not, you know what? And honestly, so far, Mark Vientos has given me the Mets quote of the year, and he was asked about the offensive struggles with everybody overall. And he goes, we're winning games, and our offense is struggling. So could you imagine what's going to happen when we're not? I mean, you're talking about a team that almost just swept the Dodgers. Literally, almost the only counts in horseshoes. I get all that.
You still took 2 out of 3. That's what you want to do?
I'll take that. We won the series. I'll take that. It's fine. And that's what you want, especially coming off a stretch where they were kind of struggling, you know?
Right.
They looked to hit a little bit of a rough patch, and it's like, all right, here's a rough patch, and in the middle of that, oh, yeah, by the way, you're going to play the Dodgers twice in a week and a half. Well, they rose to the occasion at least the first time at home, so I'll take it. But like I said, Vientos gave me the quote of the year so far. If this is what we're doing, struggling, and we're winning games, and now they're tied for first place, what's going to happen when this offense finally clicks? Because if you're looking at me right now, the Mets have not played their best baseball. their best player is not playing his best baseball. So what's going to happen when that all comes together? We know what Lindor is capable of. I think Lindor is finally going to make an all-star team with the Mets this year because he didn't struggle to open the season.
Right.
And it's crazy that you would think last year wasn't an all-star, struggled as hard as he did all of April and basically half of May, and ended up second in MVP but didn't make an all-star team. I think it's wild that Lindor has not made an all-star team, but everybody remember the fact that he struggles to open the season. He didn't do that this year. You know, Nimmo's starting to somewhat find it, I think. He's showing me flashes of the Nimmo that I want to see, but it's frustrating.
Could you imagine if Soto wasn't playing well and the Mets weren't playing well?
Right, that would be atrocious. It would be atrocious.
They dumpster fire already 2 months into the season.
Right. I mean, listen, the Mets pitching staff has somewhat taken the pressure off all that. You know, all these question marks they had in the rotation. Where was everybody that was laughing at us in the offseason that we signed Clay Holmes and Griffin Canning? Where are you? I would love to have a conversation because where are you laughing so loud? Oh, look what you guys did. Your rotation is terrible, X, Y, and Z. Yeah?
Yeah, it was the same thing what people said about the Yankee offense. We weren't going to score runs.
Right, and I was one of them.
Screwed.
I'll say it right to you. And everybody listening, I was one of them. I questioned your offense.
I questioned the pitching. And it was rightfully so, though, on both sides. It was rightfully so to say, where are the Yankees getting the bulk of their runs besides Judge? And how are the Mets going to be able to pitch?
Yeah, but you know what the thing is? When you brought that up to me, at least the Mets rotation, and we had that conversation, it was a sensible, logic conversation.
Right.
It wasn't a clickbait, rage bait, nonsense crap that everybody else likes to do,
where
they sit here and laugh. They don't have no idea what they're talking about. And now that, you know, they, I guess, since got proven wrong, crickets. It's going to be the same thing when Soto gets hot. Because we know it's inevitable. We know he's going to wake up.
No, but you know what the best one is? These guys that would say, oh, it's atrocious what he's doing, how he's playing. They're going to be like, oh, there he is. The legend. The god. He's back. They're going to act like they're his best friend. That's why it's frustrating. Because the minute they crap on you, the next week they're with you.
Right.
It's really unbelievable how it works, honestly. But like I said, you know what actually would be funny if the Mets were actually playing bad and Soto starts heating up?
That might happen. Just ironically, I feel like that could happen.
Like a first-year type jinx.
Yeah.
Where, all right, now Soto's hitting 350 in June, and he's got 6 home runs and 15 RBIs.
And the Mets are 0-6.
And the Mets are 3-10 to start. Like, you know, I can see that happening. It just sounds like a... But you know what? I don't think with the way the team is constructed that they're going to have a super bad month like that. So
no.
You're basically just waiting for Soto to turn over. It's like your supercar is for some reason not as fast as you thought it was, but it's supposed to be. So all you have to do is take it to the shop and see what's wrong.
Right.
That's literally what happened. Like, let's just see what's going on here because this car's not supposed to be running this way.
Yeah, and you know what? I think once he just gets through whatever he's got going on. And listen, not for nothing.
It's the pressure of the contract, bro. Honestly.
It could be a million different things.
Of him.
It could be a million different things.
He's probably going to bed every night and says, I want to be great tomorrow.
And not for nothing.
He wakes up every day and says, I can't wait to suck today. No one does that.
Right. And even on the other side of that coin. Listen, I said this. There is a person inside of that uniform. Do you have any of you out there that have trolled this man and put anything out? Do you have anything, any inkling to maybe what's going on in his personal life? Maybe that plays a role. People forget the fact that
they made three fake stories.
Human beings.
What about the three fake stories last week?
I mean, come on.
No, it's stressful.
I'm not trying to, you know, really go down this road, but like, let's be honest here. Any of you out there listening? Do you not go through any sense of a rough patch in life? And not just that, and it affects maybe other assets of your life. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors with these players.
Right.
And if
this was September and he's hitting 240, then we could talk about it being a disaster and an embarrassment. But it's not September
and we'll
figure it out when we get there. It's 2 months into the season.
You know what? Honestly, it would be perfect if, I know I made the joke, like he's starting to heat up. Listen, he looks better. And the other thing is, too, I sent you this thing the other day from Baseball Savant. His numbers, hard hit rate, barrel percentage, everything is there. So it's not like he's just, he's hitting the ball in the wrong places.
Right, exactly. And he was rolling over in a couple of... Everyone's like, oh, why is he hitting the double plays? He's rolling over on balls. A fixable thing.
Right.
It's fixable.
And the casual only looks at numbers and knows nothing about anything and isn't watching the game itself and just sees, oh, he's hitting 229. Ha ha. There's a lot more to that story. I mean, let's be honest here.
Yeah, he's hitting 229, but, you know, it's fixable.
Of course it is.
229.
Eventually the balls go, they drop your way. Right, exactly. It's the way it goes. Yeah. I mean, like I said, he's back-to-back games now with extra base hits.
Keep that going. He's going to have a good 10-game.
You know what? That's what he needs. Heat up right now. Right. Just in time for the Dodgers. Light them on fire.
Right, exactly.
Go to L.A. and light them on fire. And you know what will be the story? Oh, Soto's hitting in L.A. Maybe that's where he wanted to be. I guarantee it. Mark my words. I have to call it because I'm going to call the clownery before it happens. Jadeveon Clownery, how we doing? I mean, come on here.
Oh, my God.
I guarantee you that'll be a thing.
God forbid he goes over and talks to Teoscar Hernandez in Spanish. They're going to think that they're colluding.
Of course. By the way, that was not a shot at Jadeveon Clowney. It was a play on words with his name. Just to clear that up with everybody.
I can't believe you opened up that can of worms.
No, it's going to happen. Watch. He's going to light it up in L.A., and everyone's going to say, wow, he loves playing in L.A. Look at him. Look at him. Maybe that's where he really wanted to be. That'll be the new thing. Yeah. Guarantee it. You heard it here first.
Soto said he enjoys the warm weather, and he's disappointed that it's not hot all year in New York, so he wants to go to L.A.
Ridiculous. Mets fans, what do we think? I know we jumped around a little bit. Jumped around with some trade stuff, Phillies. I'll talk trash about the Phillies any day of the week. I love it. But how are we feeling? Are we... I don't want to say concerned.
We should be feeling good. Yankee fans should be feeling good. We lost 2 to the Dodgers. It's not like we lost 2 to the Rockies. We lost 2 to the best team.
Yeah, you almost lost 2 to the Rockies. But almost only counts in horseshoes.
It doesn't count.
It only counts in horseshoes. But, listen, as a Mets fan, I'm feeling good. I don't want to say I'm looking forward to the Dodgers series. I am. But
I was. You want to play the best team.
I don't want to be you. That's why I don't want to be you where it's like, yeah, I'm looking forward to this. Whoops. I don't want to do that.
I think your overall goal would be to split the 4-game set.
I'd be all right with that.
Obviously, worst case scenario would be to hopefully split the
worst case scenario is getting swept.
Well, no. You want your worst case scenario to be, you don't even want to think about that. You get swept 4 games, it's going to be the talk of the town for a month. So yeah, you got to try to avoid that. But I could see a 2-2 in the series. I could see a split.
I mean, like I said, so far the matchups, I'm looking at it right now. Monday, like I mentioned, it's going to be Blackburn versus Dustin May. Game 2 is going to be Canning versus Kershaw. Kershaw really hasn't looked great.
That's 2 games where you could possibly win the first 2 right there.
Wednesday, you're going to get Peterson and Gonsolin.
Okay.
So we don't know what Gonsolin might be.
Yeah.
Peterson has been fantastic.
He's been pretty good.
And then I don't have it on here yet for Thursday. That hasn't been a thing.
So it's probably going to be announced maybe like Tuesday.
Yeah, who you know, that could...
So yeah, this series could go really... Anyway, it could be an offensive battle.
Honestly, I would love to steal Monday, the Blackburn start. I would love to steal Monday because then you got Canning, who's looked good so far this year, and Peterson, who's been good. I'll take any one of those two. You know, really the steal game for me is opening up Monday. The Blackburn game.
Yeah.
Steal the Blackburn game. I have a weird feeling Dustin May is going to have a really good start. I don't know why.
He's another guy hit or miss. It depends. It's location for him. It's not his speed and his stuff. We know that's great and that's all there. It's location. So if he's not locating, he's going to run into some trouble. I don't care who he's pitching against. So.
And also, by the way, I have a really, really weird stat that I saw. So the Rockies started yesterday that was against the Mets. Mm-hmm. Antonio... Senzatella. He is 1-10 on the season.
Oh, yeah.
He has more losses than his team has wins. That's insane.
Terrible.
That's insane.
That's embarrassing.
It's horrible. I genuinely, even the players, I feel for them.
They got to be waiting for football over there.
I don't know. You I don't know.
I mean, the Nuggets, I know they just got eliminated, so that was Denver's only other hope for success, but... When it comes to baseball, there's no hope over there the last couple of years. And in the division that they're in, it's almost like good luck. You're not going to win a division for the next 10 years. You got Ohtani over there. The Dodgers are stacked. The Padres are good. The Giants are good. Arizona's not playing well. Arizona's not very shocking.
No,
but
that,
they're still better than Colorado. So it's
of course.
What are you guys going to do? How are you guys going to fix this? Because you can't even make a wild card out of your division. It's going to be very tough for them. I don't know what they're going to sell to that fan base. So, like you said, God bless them for showing up. Because it's going to be a long
stretch. I feel before, for those players.
Me too.
I
do. It's going to be a long stretch before they're good again. That's how I feel.
And you know what, though? On the other side of this, not to, you know, keep ripping on the Rockies as much as I am, but after the LA series, the Mets go right into Colorado. So they're going to get them.
Oh, they play Colorado again?
They go right into it out in on the West Coast. Oh, wow. So. At least if maybe the Dodgers series doesn't go well, they
pick some slack back up.
Maybe, yeah. You know, I don't want to. I'm not trying to overlook them.
That's why you want to at least split this series and you go to Colorado and you could possibly
take
three or sweep.
Like I said, my biggest thing is game one. This Blackburn game, I wanna steal that. That's my steal there because you don't know what's gonna happen on Thursday. They could the Dodgers might go with a bullpen game. The Mets might potentially do the same.
And the Yankees are back home with the Guardians after the Dodgers series, so that's...
That should be interesting, because Cleveland's playing over their head, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're 31-26. You know, they're fighting for that division spot. They're six out. They are six out behind Detroit, who's playing out of their heads right now. But I'll be at the game Thursday. I'm going to the game Thursday.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's another Guardian team that's obviously scrappy, so... They don't worry me, though. The Yankees should be okay with that. So hopefully they are able to do something against Yamamoto later tonight and go back into that Guardian series and pick it up. So, listen, I'm just happy that New York baseball is relevant. I'm happy that the Yankees and the Mets are both playing well. It's great for the city. It's great for the sport. When both teams are playing well, it's just awesome. I know the New York Knicks, you know,
Fortunately, got eliminated.
Six.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Knicks. They had a great season.
They did.
They definitely did. But listen, when the Yankees and the Mets are playing at their best, it's literally the game is actually more fun to watch all around because now both teams are good. So you're invested in looking at what both teams are doing.
Yeah, and it gives us more of a reason to argue.
It gives us more of a reason to argue and. It's just a beautiful thing.
And then you get those bonehead Yankee fans that'll be like, 27. Okay, the conversation's over. Because guess what? Those fans that try to throw that in my face, guess what? I know more about your team and your history than you do. So please don't. Let's not do that.
No, I hear you. Listen, you know.
Coming from a Met fan, I don't know if I've told this on this podcast yet, but I will now. I think I might have mentioned it. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. You guys listen.
Your story?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard this. I've heard this.
You've heard this. I don't know if I've given this to you guys, so this is a fun thing. But me and a buddy of mine, it was, I forget the year, but it was the Yankees were playing the Twins in the playoffs, and we found out that...
2018?
I think it was after that. Maybe 2020, 2021?
No, 21 we lost to Boston.
Did you play the Twins at all? 19 maybe? Might have been 19. I think it was 19, okay. If I'm being honest. Anyway, Yankees were playing the Twins. I think it was in the DS.
Mm-hmm.
Found out a local bar was running the Yankee game that night and Yankee trivia. Me and my buddy went. We won. On my back. Not his. I'm not going to take away from him. Not going to take away from him. My boy knew his stuff. But it's me we're talking about. A Met fan dominated Yankee trivia. Just saying. So don't come at me with your nonsense. I don't want to hear your 27 championships and blah, 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 blah. I don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. I know more about your team than you do, more than likely. And I'm going to say that with confidence and arrogance because I can. You got a fun one for me, though. You got a friend of ours, friend of the show. Very loyal listener.
Yes, he's looking to
commenter.
Convert you. He wants to convert you.
So he made some pretty interesting comments to you, and you withheld this information from me.
No, I told you immediately.
Not immediately. You told me about it after the fact. I want you to tell everybody and remind him, now that I Now that he's going to know that I know what he said. Now that we're going
to
do this.
He wants to convert you. He said, you know, he wants to offer you food, bring you down to the section, right behind home plate, very nicey nice, and maybe we could, you know, we could convert you. I don't know if it's ever been done, so we you know, you'd be the first guy we were gonna try it on.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to say. Can I call him out by name?
Yeah, go ahead.
LJ. You better made it this far in the episode. I know you do because you always answer the trivia questions, whether you get them right or wrong. And you always leave comments. One of our most loyal listeners, so I give you that. But LJ, come on, bro. What are we saying here?
Come on, free you're gonna, beer? You're not going to take a free beer?
No, listen. Here's the challenge. If you want to be, and forgive me for this, but if you want to be dumb enough to wine and dine me and get me all the food and alcohol I can consume and think that I'm going to convert to a Yankee fan, challenge accepted. I will make you go broke. So we can do that, and I'll do you one better. Because
would you wear a jersey and a hat for one game?
Yankees?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
You have to, though.
No, I'm not.
You're not going to eat the free food and wear a jersey?
I'm not doing that.
Oh, no, it deals off.
I'm not doing that.
Listen, you know I love food. I'll wear a Piazza jersey sitting in the left.
I don't believe
you.
I don't believe you.
You're going to stuff my fat.
I don't believe you, but I will say this.
No,
I'll
use a Piazza jersey as a napkin. I'm sorry, I would never do that. And I would expect you to do the same.
I get invited to Yankee games every so often for obvious reasons. I don't root for the team. But I do get invited. And I always ask whoever invites me, out of respect, you have three options of attire that I will wear to a game. And I'm not going neutral where I'm going to wear jeans and a t-shirt that mean nothing. I have to wear a jersey to a game. And by the way, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, so to speak. I'm just going to say this. I see a lot of takes on people who try to make fun of grown men for wearing jerseys with other men's names on their back. Dude, get a hobby. Wear a helmet. Do something fun. I mean, really. I mean, come on. Anyway, I present three options for you. I'll either go in full Mets attire. I don't care. That's fine. I could go even more so to piss off your fan base, and I'll wear my gas station version Astros Nolan Ryan jersey. Now, mind you, I don't have it because it's the Astros. I have it because it's Nolan Ryan. You loyal listeners, LJ, know that Nolan Ryan is my favorite pitcher of all time. So that's why I got that jersey, and it was the most obnoxious jersey that I saw. Had to get it. Had to do it. My wife hates it. It's so funny. She hates it.
I'd rather you wear a Mets jersey.
Or
there's another one.
I go somewhat neutral, but well, it's also a jab.
Griffey
Jr., yeah, Mariners.
I wouldn't mind either or. You know what? The Mets one, no, because they're not playing. I'd rather you wear the Mets one if they were playing. It's a waste of a... I'd rather you wear the Griffey one if they weren't playing the Mets. Like, if you came to a Yankees-Tigers game, I'd rather you wear a Griffey.
Last Yankee game I went to, it was Yankees-Rangers. I presented this question to my buddy who invited me to the game. And he goes, honestly, I really don't care what you do. He goes, but maybe just go with the Griffey. Just to be safe. Yeah. He goes, I'm not trying to deal with anything. And I was like, all right, that's fair.
It's true. You know what? I think if you wore the Nolan Ryan jersey, it wouldn't cause much of
attention. It's the Astros. It's the Astros.
No, but if you wore like an Altuve jersey.
Oh, that would be bad.
Then you're causing problems.
That would be bad.
But a Nolan Ryan, I think you could probably swing with getting by it. I don't know. Maybe. But I mean, personally, I think
you know what was funny?
The Griffey one.
That used to be my neutral jersey when I went to Yankee games, and this was before the rivalry. All this.
So now it's a rivalry.
And I still had Yankee fans walking up, an Astros jersey, Nolan Ryan. Nolan Ryan. That's why I'm wearing it. And it's actually cool because I got it up in Cooperstown.
Okay.
And it actually has
the Cooperstown patch.
It has the patch on it. So I thought that was dope. I think all stadiums should do that, by the way. They should put maybe patches on jerseys or hats to say that like you bought the item at the stadium. I've been saying that forever. Because people do that. They travel around. They go to stadiums. They want to get the collectible items to say that they were at the stadium. So sell a t-shirt, a jersey, or whatever with like the little patch to say that like you bought the jersey here. So if any baseball team steals this idea, you know, you heard it here first.
Just saying. Let us get some love if you guys want to steal our idea at least.
Yeah, at least something. At least sponsor the podcast or something.
Yeah, please.
Or, you know, take me out to dinner like LJ, and he's, you know, going to try to convert me to be a Yankee fan. I mean,
hey, listen, it means we care about you. We've never tried to convert anybody. It means we care about you. That's all we're trying to say. It's not a bad thing. It's not. If someone tried to convert me into a Met fan, I would say it's because they care about me and they think that my well-being is not, you know, intact. It's this is a care thing. Like I said, he's a loyal listener, and he's just concerned. That's all.
Listen, he's going to be real concerned when I make him go broke, because it's never going to happen. Oh, but by all means, challenge accepted. You could wine and dine me all
nice
you want.
Game, great seats.
Yeah, great seats. Beautiful. Beers,
couple
beautiful.
Burgers, couple glizzies.
And then if the Yankees start losing, I'm going to start trolling, and then it's going to get ugly.
Listen, no, we'll just have security remove you from the section.
Oh, now I'm getting kicked out of the game. Yeah. And you're trying to convert me. Yeah. Okay. I see how this
you
is going.
You can't disrespect us.
Do you know what I went through in the 90s? I don't care.
No, I'm not talking about that. We know you've been kicked to the curb. We know.
Come on, I don't want
to
hear that.
I'm just saying. We'd have to maybe, you know, do a little bit of a finger wave and tell security, listen, he's getting a little disorderly. It's time to go. The kid in the Griffey jersey would point like this. All you gotta do is turn around and go like this.
Yeah, then I'm just gonna take it off, and it's gonna be Nolan Ryan, and then everyone's gonna understand why I'm getting tossed.
Oh, then you get in cuffs. You leave in cuffs.
With an Astros jersey, yeah, probably.
I'll take the security guard's radio. Listen, we got disruptive. Section 121, he's punching people.
My
he's got
God.
A Nolan Ryan jersey on.
Thanks. Now you're going to have me arrested for assault. Right, this is beautiful. Look,
all you got to do is sit down and eat a burger and watch the game.
Yeah, yeah. Concerned. Real concerned. You have me arrested. I love it. Look, see, the true colors came out.
For the podcast. You become like a podcast legend now. You got arrested. You're like the bad boy. It's a bad boy image.
All right, I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. Let's go.
Oh, that's great.
No, when you told me that about LJ, I was hysterical. So, listen, shout out to him. I would listen, even outside all that, fun and games out of it, I would absolutely love to do that one day. I say we all go to a game together.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, hey, the Yankees
I'm
are
not to go
coming
to City Field. And you know what? I'm the type of guy, I probably wouldn't wear a jersey or a neutral.
I don't care if you do.
I'd probably just come. I'd probably just wear my Diamond Discussions hat. How about that?
That's fair. You can wear a jersey. I don't care.
Oh, no. I just...
Be a kid. Have fun.
Maybe I'd wear
get
like
yelled
a shirt.
At. It's fun.
I could wear my MLB Jam shirt, maybe. My Aaron Judge and Garrett Cole shirt.
You don't know that.
Under the radar a little bit. That's not too flashy. You know? But I know you Met fans want to make a point if you come to a Yankee game. Where...
I mean, that's I love the fan. I love the fan on opening day that showed up to Yankee Stadium in a Mets Juan Soto jersey. I mean, dude, you want to talk about? I love it. I love it.
I saw another kid.
I love
it. Tagged you. I think it was actually LJ who tagged me in the video. It was a kid wearing a Soto jersey, no name. So very respectable.
Okay.
He bought the jersey.
So how do you know it was a Soto jersey?
Well, it was 22 because he had a bag of rice taped to the back of the jersey.
But you don't need to do that if there's not a name on the jersey. What do you... Oh, my God.
It was still great.
I mean, that's hysterical. That is hysterical. No, that is really funny, honestly. That is good. But that...
Because he didn't want to put the name. So I felt like with the bag of rice... He was like, you know, this is who it really is. I
guess.
But yes, you didn't need to do it because we know now 22 is rice. But the fact that he put the bag of rice was phenomenal.
Well, if he would have put a syringe back there, we would have known it meant Clemens. So.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to take my shots when they're there, man. I'm sorry. I'm taking them. I'm not a fan of Roger Clemens for obvious reasons. So I'm going to do that.
Paul Duca.
The hell do I care? He played for us for 2 years. Roger Clemens is a Yankee legend. I don't
the
care.
The first name I talked about the juice.
Yeah, have fun with that.
What about Mo Vaughn?
He was there for a season. A season and a half. He hit one monster home run off the top of the scoreboard at Shea, and that was it.
He broke his legs or something.
Mo Vaughn. I had a Mo Vaughn hat.
And did
I,
you really?
Yeah, I did. I had a Mo Vaughn hat.
You would have a Mo Vaughn hat. I would.
Oh, God. There's definitely been a lot of buffoonery in this one, especially when, I don't know, we brought up LJ and things just went south.
We're south. Trying to get into a Yankee.
You know what we got to do? We got to have him on the show one day.
No, yeah, we'll get him on.
We got to have him on the show one day.
LJ's great, man.
That would be fun. Awesome. But, guys, we've spoken Yankees Mets. Lizardo getting roughed up. Shout out Brandon Pfaadt. Thank you again. Helping me secure a win in fantasy. Well, it's not over. Yogi Berra. It ain't over till it's over. Overall, I'm liking where things are at. Things are going to get real interesting over the next couple weeks leading into July. Trade deadline, All-Star break. We're going to get All-Star voting coming up soon. We're going to maybe talk soon about some early MVP front runners, some rookie of the year stuff. Yeah. Go back at our predictions and see how stupid we look. We're going to have some fun.
Yeah, we'll wrap up the first half with how our predictions look. Yeah, that's a good idea, too.
Yeah, I've been constantly looking at it, and I hate myself for a lot of it.
Well, I'm not looking too bad.
My player stuff, but hey.
My player stuff is ruined.
I got a resurgence now that, in baseball news, Alexis Diaz got traded to the Dodgers for, I think, a bag of rice.
It was rice, beans, and a taco kit.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
So with that being said, I don't understand why the Mets didn't go and do that. Just for the sheer fact to put the brothers together.
Yeah, you know what?
Not that they necessarily needed it, but put the brothers together.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they could have used an arm. They could have used the bullpen arm. Why not? Another right-handed bullpen arm.
They gave up nothing.
The Yankees could have got him, too. The Yankees could have got another
bullpen nothing, arm. But, you know, maybe my reliever of the year.
Just struck first, maybe, I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, yeah, this is his time for redemption, yeah, because if not, he's out.
Yeah, I would say so.
He's a rough start to the season. So.
And it's funny, too, because my dad called me out on it when we did that episode, and he was like, you really picked, he goes, and you didn't take his brother? Edwin's going to have a good year.
He's now 30 for 30 against, he's gotten 30 consecutive outs, I believe.
Love it.
He's been a dog. Love Diaz. And you picked, I see why you did it, though. You did it because you tried to think outside the box a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm not going to, you know, sit here and homer every pick.
Right, exactly.
My MVP pick is dead.
I picked Eli De La Cruz. He's not winning MVP.
Neither is Juan Soto.
No.
So.
Yeah, so.
We'll get into that in other episodes, guys.
I think Bobby Witt. I disrespected my own guy. I disrespected Aaron Judge. So
that's what you get.
Yep, exactly. That's what my brother said. My brother goes, not even as a Yankee fan, but you picked Bobby Witt over Aaron Judge. I said, it's not like I picked, Willie Castro to win MVP. I picked the guy that was behind
running
Judge.
Yeah.
So I just thought he would have a little bit better of a year. Listen, he's having a great year. It's just not. It's not what Judge is doing. So.
Yeah, Judge is ridiculous. Yeah,
my player picks are... My division picks look good. My player picks are not looking great.
Mike could use some work. Guys, this is the moment of the show that you all anxiously wait for. Trivia question to bother you guys, to upset you. But I'm going to say this as much as I can. We would love to see it in the comments. We'd love to see that the comments are starting to light up a little more. And just so you guys know... The more you comment on the podcast, the more it's going to get pushed. And that's what we kind of need. You know, our viewership has been great. You guys have been spectacular. We're just trying to maybe push this to the next level. And when there are comments, you know how that algorithm thing works. Spotify sees, there's a ton of comments on this podcast. Maybe this is something that people need to hear, you know? I don't know. What do you guys think?
We also do in the future. I think we had spoke about this. We want to generate like a little prize.
Yeah, I was trying to say it without saying it to everybody, but
maybe now if we say it, it'll be an incentive for people to answer in the comment box, so they know like, hey, if I put it in the comment section, I'm eligible for a prize. So
yeah, we were looking into doing something like that.
If we could keep that up, maybe something like that in the future happens.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you get to join us at a game and watch LJ try to convert me into a Yankee fan.
Because
that'll be pure comedy.
The baptism, we're going to call it.
The baptism.
The baptism episode. We'll be there with the water. We'll hold him down.
Yeah, that's...
Pour it on his head.
Not a thing. Not a thing at all.
Common NY in his head like Harry Potter.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to the clan.
Yeah, all right. This is nuts because now you're just basically saying that Voldemort's going to come give me a scar on my head.
Absolutely.
Pretty sure Voldemort was part of the bad guys there. So Thanks for admitting who you stand with. I'll take it. I'll take where I sit. But I think we got a fun one.
Yeah, this is a good one. I was actually surprised with the answer with this one.
Yeah, so was I. Bounced around a little bit. Just so you guys know, and like I said, I'm pushing the comment thing. Don't be embarrassed of a wrong answer. If that's what's stopping you, don't be embarrassed. Because you want to know the truth? Me or Joe got this wrong.
Yeah, so and there's a lot of ones that we said, maybe this one. No, we're wrong. So that's why we try to make it challenging so it's fun.
Right. So with that being said, in the history of baseball, who was the youngest player to ever win the MVP? I'm not even going to attempt to give you a clue.
No.
Because I just can't.
Nope.
So have fun with that. Enjoy it. Yell at us for it. But comment your answer. Even if it's dead wrong and you know it is. We want to see it. It helps us. It's going to help push. We need it. Because, listen, like I said, the viewership, you guys have been amazing. You guys make this so much fun to do because it's not only the fact that we look forward to the fact that we get to sit here and talk baseball on a microphone, but that people are actually listening and it's not just you and me having a conversation.
Right.
So with that being said, like I always say, we love you, we appreciate you, and thanks for hanging out with us, guys.